Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead, here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, it is Wednesday. It is what we call our favorite day of the week here at Today with Dr. K. It is the one day of the week when we open up the phone lines and we allow you, the listener, to put whatever you would like on the table. That is a rarity. It's something that is unique to this show. We did that because we understand that we have a lot of topics. We have a lot of issues we can discuss. But there are times when you have something on your mind, times when you have this pressing issue that you want to talk about. There are times when you need to kind of emote. You need to discuss. You need to rant. You need to rave. Well, we have set aside Wednesdays as that day for you to do it. It's today that you can call and put whatever you would like on the table. I usually start us off by telling you some of the things that I've been thinking about. On this day, we don't even do a script. We just kind of think about some of the issues that we're interested in. We think about some of the things we've been musing about. We go through those topics, and then we lay them out on the table. I've been thinking a lot about COVID-19 and about these new variants. Whether we are now looking at the Delta variant. They've also talked about the Epsilon variant, which is a mutation off of the Delta variant. They're now talking about the Lambda variant, which is more deadly than the Delta variant. And now they have discovered and are talking about the Escape variant. And the Escape variant, they're saying, is able to dodge the vaccine. So I have a lot of questions about COVID-19. So in the second hour, in the 4 p.m. hour, we reached out to a behavioral data scientist who works with the state of California. And what he does is he looks at a large data scale set around populations, around what is happening with hospitals, around what's happening with people testing positive for COVID-19. And he makes predictions around COVID-19 strategies and outcomes. So we're going to speak with him today to get his insight on what is happening and how we can protect ourselves, particularly in light of this escape variant. I am very concerned about the possibility of a variant that's able to escape or sidestep the vaccine. For those of us who are fully vaccinated, and I highly recommend, if you are not, that you really take some time and consider getting vaccinated. The reason is that 99.7% of the people who are currently in the hospital right now are people who chose not to get vaccinated. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And you're probably going to have questions today. We're going to talk about it at 4 p.m. We're going a step farther at 4:30, because at 4:30, we're then going to speak with someone from the National Nurses United Association. This is the vice president and president of the California Nurses Association, Kathy Kennedy, to talk about where do nurses stand? What are they seeing in the hospital? We're taking a very national lens in the second hour because I have questions about COVID-19. That's what I'm putting on the table. As someone who is fully vaccinated, I say that again, I want to know, how do I protect myself? How often should I be masking up? What about when my children go to school in the fall? What should I do? If I had children in K-12, should I send them back? What about the fact that my boss is calling everybody back into the building? What do I do then? What are my options if we're looking at things like an escape variant? Is America going to close again? Are we going to have some states close and some states open? Places like Texas are not going to close. Places like Florida are not going to close. Places like Maryland might. We're seeing an uptick in our cases. We know it's spreading rapidly right here in Maryland. Yesterday, we were doing very well. Today, we are not. Yesterday, I mentioned how Cecil County is up to 4.84%, and we know that 5% threshold is what people are concerned about. We know PG County is climbing. we're watching this happen, not just around the state, but around the country, where we're now starting to see numbers similar to how we saw them last April. So we're going to talk about that. It's akin to what someone said. Imagine if the person in front of you runs an 8-minute mile and you are someone who runs a 13-minute mile. I don't know about you. I'm a 13-minute miler, right? So whenever somebody comes in front of me and they're running an 11, they're running a 10, they're running an 8, I give up all hope of catching them. Like, that's not going to happen. Not this lifetime, right? So I watch that 8-minute miler in front of me blowing me away. They said, imagine that COVID-19 from last year is the 7-minute miler in front of the 8-minute miler, and you're back at 13 minutes for a mile. In front of last year's COVID-19, currently running a 6-minute mile is the Delta variant. So imagine, just keep going. Now you're back at 13 minutes. You've already been dusted by the 8-minute mile. You've already been dusted by last year's COVID-19. You've already been dusted by the Delta variant. They said when you take into account the Lambda variant and the Escape variant, those are like 3- and 4-minute milers where you will not outrun them. In fact, if you pace it, they're going to eventually catch you. So we're going to talk about that in the second hour. First, I was really fascinated by the exchange between Dr. Fauci, who is someone who works as an epidemiologist, as a scientist. He looks at the outbreak of viruses. He's looked at AIDS. He's looked at Ebola. I mean, he has worked across the spectrum with a number of different presidents. His job is to look at what is happening when a disease hits and talking about how America should respond. That is his job. That is his specialty. That is what he has been doing for years upon years. The man is almost 80. Here comes Rand Paul, who is also a doctor, but he's an eye doctor. Hey, I don't have a problem with an eye doctor when I'm trying to deal with my eyes. I'm not going to an eye doctor when I want to talk about a virus. I'm not. I want to talk to a scientist. I want to talk to an epidemiologist. I want to talk to somebody who looks at the large-scale data sets. That's what I'm talking about. If I don't want to have a beef burger, then I'm not going to a place that sells. I'm going to a vegan restaurant. I'm going to the specialty. And right now, Rand Paul is challenging Dr. Fauci in Dr. Fauci's area of expertise. Do you trust Dr. Fauci? Do you think that Dr. Fauci is suffering from some type of pushback to his ability to do his job? Before I play the clip for you, I want to share some tweets from Dr. Kizzmekia Corbett. You might remember Dr. Corbett. This is the black woman who graduated from UMBC, who was at the center of the study developing the vaccine for COVID-19. She's the one that was tweeting out how wonderful it was for her to escort her grandmother, who had raised so many of her grandchildren, to escort her to go and get the vaccine that had been developed and created by her granddaughter. Well, she's in Louisiana. She's been tweeting out. I want to share some of the tweets from Dr. Kizzmekia Corbett. I'm in Louisiana for a non-COVID family emergency. Said emergency makes me visit the ICU every day, 3 times a day. Been here since Saturday, and in the process, I've seen a lot. Today, I sat beside a woman in the ICU as she wept. I rode an elevator with a grieving wife. There are sirens. My family's ICU unit is getting back crowded. The front desk manager just warned us that the 2-people visitation might be stopped soon, so say your goodbyes. If we remember, it was during the time of COVID-19. That they stopped people from being able to visit in the hospital. They shut that down. She goes on, Dr. Kizzmekia Corbett, I am a COVID vaccine inventor. In Louisiana, a hot spot, watching the virus do what viruses do, feeling helpless because people are opting out of the vaccine. I don't have the words. She then finishes, please get vaccinated, y'all. Please. That's it. I'm beyond the point of not begging. Just go. If you are able-bodied, go. The reason why people like Dr. Kazmikia Corbett and others are urging the unvaccinated to get vaccinated is the idea that if you are someone and you are infected with COVID-19 and you are unvaccinated and you pass COVID-19 on to a vaccinated person, it can begin to shift, it can begin to mutate, it can begin to change, and before you know it, we have a new variant. They said it's like thinking about a copy machine and how you're making copies. And say you're making 100 copies. The first 50 copies are an exact replica. But for copy 51, you bump into the copy machine. So it throws the copy, the piece of paper off just a little bit. But that little variation is enough to actually create a different photograph. Whether it's crooked, a piece is missing, it's not the exact same thing. That is what the COVID-19 mutation looks like. You have replicas being made of COVID-19, and then the 51st replica, something's off. And instead of being a direct replica, it's a mutation. And then your body has to figure out how to fight it. So far, the vaccinated have been able to move through getting COVID-19 without getting very sick. But the unvaccinated are being infected, what they call the so-called breakthrough cases. So Rand Paul, Rand Paul is in this debate with Dr. Fauci, and at the heart of it is COVID-19. Where did it come from? Did COVID-19 come from a wet market with the bats? That's what we were told early on, that it jumped from the bats to humans. It was a zoonotic virus, right? A zoonotic virus, something that jumps from animals to humans. It's not the first one that we've seen. We saw it with the Spanish flu, H1N1. They're all kind of diseases that jump from animals to humans and begin to mutate. That's why during COVID-19, it wasn't just that we saw human beings getting sick. There were cases of dogs and cats. There were horses that got COVID-19. It's a zoonotic virus. Or did COVID-19 come from a scientific lab in Wuhan? Were they working on viruses in a lab that we funded and somebody stepped on something and it walked out of the lab on the bottom of somebody's shoe? Somebody made a mistake. Went left when they should have gone right. They got poked, they got sick, and they begin to spread it. That's where at the heart of this. What is going on? How did we get here? And Senator Rand Paul believes that the person who is responsible, the person that we have to take down, the person who is lying, the person who is responsible for almost 4 million deaths worldwide is none other than Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was not from Wuhan, who was not working in the lab. But Rand Paul believes that Dr. Fauci was involved with the experiments, knew what was happening, helped to funnel more money rather than stepping in to shut it down. I want to play this clip for you, this clip of the exchange between Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci. And I want to talk to you about the erosion of trust. And does it make a difference whether this virus came from a bat or from a lab? Because this is here we are at this moment. Let's play the clip first, and then I want to hear your response.
Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
So
what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmittability to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH
Chair,
definition
can I answer
of gain
the
of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a sub-award from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did
I
come
can,
from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is not.
You can't get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are the one.
Senator Paul's time has expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible to result in SARS-CoV-2.
No one's saying those viruses caused the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human.
They go back and forth. They continue the back and forth. Rand Paul has gotten on this pulpit where he has been arguing about gain of function throughout. That is where he is now. Let's not even talk about 700,000 plus people that have died, the number of people that are in the hospital, the fact that we have rising cases. I mean, Maryland reported more than 200 COVID cases for the first time since May. How about we're doing far less testing? How about what happened in Georgia where they threw away vaccine so they didn't have enough people? No, it's not about that. He wants to talk about gain of function, which for a lot of people, it's like, what even is gain of function? Like, what are we talking about here? This has been evaluated multiple times by qualified people who've stated that this does not fall under the gain of function definition. What I think is interesting, before we get into a debate about gain of function, because I'm not the one to argue with you about that, what I think is interesting is that it speaks to credibility. That's what they're dealing with right now. If you don't believe Dr. Fauci is credible, then that means everything that has been said about the vaccine, about COVID-19, all of it is false to you. You can't hold both these truths at the same time. You can't say Dr. Fauci is not credible and say you still believe in COVID-19 and the vaccines. You can't hold both those things at the same time. Because if Dr. Fauci is not credible, then all the things he said around COVID-19, none of that is going to stand. It really is an either or at this moment. That is how Rand Paul's laying it down. He's like, you know, if you believe in Fauci, then you believe in the lie about all these other things as well. And they are pushing back heavy on the vaccine. I got something I want to put on the table because people are now saying, look, the American government is trying to force people to get vaccinated. And I think we should talk about that because I think I'm going to start going in that direction, right? So the American people are saying, we don't want to be forced by the government to take the vaccine because it's not the government's job to take care of us. Actually, it is. It is absolutely the government's job to take care of you. Might I draw your attention to 52 words that were written a long time ago that lay out how the government's job is actually to take care of you. The 52 words of the preamble that opened up the Constitution to the United States that says, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. In those 52 words, it's about the government actually doing its job. Get us the vaccines and let us get them into our arms. The government is supposed to do its job. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Sean first. Sean, how are you? Sean, are you with us?
Hey,
how are you? I'm doing well, thank you.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. First of all, Rand Paul didn't just start taking that position. He's had that position at least 12 months. At least 12 months.
Yep.
And I believe it is not immaterial whether or not it was a naturally occurring virus or it was something man-made. Because the reality is the treatment for those viruses are different.
Mm-hmm.
So if we approach this with this so-called vaccine, and we're treating it or doing the research as if it was naturally occurring, when all the while it was a result of something similar to gain of function, we should be concerned.
Okay, so let me ask you.
The FDA approves the vaccine, we shouldn't even be calling it a vaccine.
Well, let me ask you this, Sean. Just so we're clear, are you approaching this, as you're talking about the vaccine and efficacy, are you approaching this as a layperson or are you a scientist? Because I want to make sure what area you're coming from, or just someone who's been doing some reading about it.
I'm beyond a scientist.
What's beyond a scientist?
I'm a scientist and an engineer. But again, that's still immaterial.
It is material. Because when you speak about this, you have to state what position you're coming from. If you're saying you're beyond a scientist, you're a scientist and an engineer, I do take your information a little bit differently than someone's like, well, I read a couple of articles and I Googled it.
As a scientist and an engineer,
you studied this.
Oh, this is my position. The way you do the research for a vaccine that's mm-hmm. developed to treat a naturally occurring virus is different. The process is different.
Okay.
That when you develop a vaccine that occurred from a zoonotic virus.
Are you vaccinated?
Why would I? Because it's not even a vaccine.
Okay, so what is it?
We're calling it a vaccine.
But what exactly is it?
It's something that has emergency use authorization.
Right. But it's an emergency use authorization as a vaccine. So the question is, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated?
I'm not told that I'm not.
No, I can't tell anything. I'm asking you.
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
So do you believe that COVID-19 is a thing?
It is a thing.
Okay.
But is it a natural thing, or did this thing is this really what it could potentially be? We don't want to admit that this country would do it, but we know deep down in our hearts they would.
Come on, Agent Orange lets us know that this country is not incapable of doing things.
Why all of a sudden are they credible in 2021?
So you don't think Dr. Fauci's credible? Are you also doubting the credibility of Dr. Kazmikia Corbett, the black woman who developed the DNA scanning for the vaccine?
But I agree with Rand Paul. If Dr. Fauci is lying about the NIH funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan, then his credibility is tarnished.
Okay. Thank you so much, Clarence. I mean, Sean, I appreciate you. Let's go to Charles. Charles, how are you?
Yes, how you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining in the conversation.
All right. I don't believe that the COVID-19 is... what they're saying that it is.
Okay.
I believe that it's something totally different. But let's look at how it came about.
Okay.
So we had some politicians, we had some priests, we had some doctors, and some other people that came down with COVID-19 when it first came out.
Right.
It was said that the COVID-19 was put into the adrenochrome and tainted the adrenochrome
mm-hmm.
to find out who the adrenochrome users were.
Okay, so I want to be clear, Chuck, because I've had you on the show before and I really appreciate your perspective. In your opinion, COVID-19 is not a thing or it is a thing? I mean, because 700,000 people have died, but you don't think it was COVID-19.
I'm saying is COVID-19 is not a bat. It is not.
You believe it's from the lab?
Women, it is not a pangolin. Remember they said maybe a bat, maybe a pangolin?
Yes. So it's you believe it's bat. from the lab. That's what you're saying.
I do not believe it's from the lab. I believe it is 5G. If you took a look at the radio waves and the viruses that appeared with the different levels of radio waves, we've gone up the different from ham radio all the way up to now we're having 5, 6, and 7, and 8G. If you look at the difference appeared at the same time at the change in the radio waves, then you would understand this is all 5G.
It's 5G. Okay.
When you talk about 5G, they'll talk about anything but 5G because that's what it is.
Well, I definitely appreciate you putting that on the table. Folks, I don't have a 5G phone. I don't. So I don't know if that keeps me protected. I don't even know where the 5G towers are. I do know that COVID-19 has killed over 4 million people worldwide. I do know that over 700,000 people in this country have died from COVID-19. I do know, personally, people who lost their life because of COVID-19. I don't know anything about 5G. I know 3 people in the hospital right now who have COVID-19. So I do believe it's a thing. I do. I believe it's a huge thing. Now, we can debate about the vaccines. It's hard to debate about COVID-19 not being real. We're going to hold it here for just a moment. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got Clarence, we got Mike, we got Angel, we got Ray. Bring it on. Let's have that conversation about COVID-19, Dr. Fauci, and Rand Paul today. Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. So, folks, I got time today. I do. I got time today to have this COVID-19 conversation because we're at a point now where there are other variants coming out. Delta, Epsilon, Lambda, Escape variant. We're going to get into all those variants when we have a behavioral data scientist on in the next hour. I had a caller say that they are more than a scientist. I don't exactly know what that is. I'm just saying when we're talking about COVID-19, it really is coming down to just a few things. One, do you believe that COVID-19 can kill you? Two, do you believe that a vaccine can protect you from the worst possible outcomes of COVID-19? Three, you think the government should mandate vaccines and then force everyone to carry a vaccination passport? And then four, do you trust Dr. Fauci and Dr. Kazmikia Corbett and the NIH? Because if you don't trust them, then everything they've said, nothing is credible. Couple questions. You don't have to answer them all. Just think about them. Give me a call. Let's have that conversation. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Angel on the line. Angel, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Good. So I don't know what that one caller meant by he's more of a than a scientist either. I'm just as confused as you are. And also these ideas about the 5G causing COVID-19 is not true. I am right now am studying biotechnology for my undergraduate degree and a pre-med student. And I just took a microbiology class. I can tell you a few things, that a virus is an obligate, intracellular parasite. So it's something that attaches in your system and it keeps replicating, its system in your system pretty much in simplified terms. So 5G is not going to cause a virus because 5G is a part of radiation. That's a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Electromagnetic spectrum and an obligate intracellular parasite are way too different things. So if anyone's like scared, if the caller like scared anybody into thinking, you know, 5G is causing COVID-19 or any virus, that is not true. And a vaccine, which the vaccine that is out, it is a vaccine. It's something that It makes your body recognize a similar cell as the virus, and so that you can attack it if you get it, so you shouldn't hopefully die or your symptoms will be less. So those are the couple little things.
Thank
I
you, so Angel. I appreciate you just kind of clearing that up and putting that on the table. Thank you, Angel. Folks, let me just, I want to give the definition of a vaccine, just to follow up on what Angel said, because my caller earlier, the one that's more than a scientist, said that it's not a vaccine. You can't call it a vaccine. Let me tell you what a vaccine is. A vaccine is a substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against one or several diseases. Prepared from the causative agent of a disease, its products or a synthetic substitute treated to act as an antigen without inducing the disease. With the vaccines that are on the market, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Novavax to a lesser extent, because I only think like 7,000 people in the country have Novavax. The idea is that the vaccines, which is based upon years of research that scientists have been doing around coronavirus, which opened up where you had an unlimited bankroll and the best and brightest minds around the planet working on getting something out so that people could be protected against the worst cases that result from COVID-19, death, of course, being the worst, the next is being a long hauler, needing a double lung transplant, needing oxygen, needing a ventilator. So is the vaccine foolproof? No, no vaccine is. You get the flu vaccine, you can still get the flu. You just won't have it into the harshest extent, but you can still get it. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Ray, then Robert, Clarence, Mike, and Mark. Ray, how are you?
I just did a show about this, I think, this morning on a station, and I concur with you. First of all, I believe in science. To say that I don't trust everything the government does, that's a fair statement. But, again, polio, we've eradicated in about 12 other major diseases. For someone that has a young infant, there are about 10 different shots that that young child is going to get. And the reason they get them is to permanently erase diseases that wiped out millions, literally millions, especially polio of diseases. So, but we seem to be in a neo-dark age where the same people that love the technology of cell phones, internet, et cetera, when it comes to protecting their bodies, have this major resistance. But those same people are alive today because of many of the vaccinations that the, quote, government, unquote, made us take. And that's what nations are supposed to do. We have rules on the beltway that we can't drive 100 miles an hour, because if everyone did that, it would be a disaster.
Right.
So, again, I follow your logic 100%. Yes, we have the right to question. We have the right not to trust. But when you talk about a scientific consensus, whether it's global warming, whether it's vaccination, and I don't think it has to do with trusting Fauci, because if you don't trust him, they're about 20,000 other epidemiologists on the planet that concur with him. And that's what consensus means, that a overwhelming majority of experts have said, yes, this, the science makes sense. I appreciate you, sister.
Thank you so much. Folks, let me just follow up on what the caller just said, which I really appreciate. Just to kind of get us on the same page, I think maybe we got to go back to this. There are about 14 different diseases that you are protected against. You are vaccinated as a child. Now, we know there are communities, I think about the Amish community at the top of my head, there are communities that they don't do any vaccination. I know there's a huge anti-vax community in New York, for example, where they don't want to vaccinate their children. Okay, for the rest of us, and I'm just going to do just an informal survey. Dre, are you vaccinated? Not against COVID, but just vaccinated as a whole. Did your mom get you vaccinated? Did you go to public school?
Because if you did, you got vaccinated. We have Mikhail Ramos in here. Yeah, you still got, if you went to a private school, you're definitely vaccinated. You weren't rolling up in there unvaxxed, my friend, unless you got some type of health waiver. You probably got vaccinated, Mikhail, as a child, against the following diseases, depending upon your age. 14 of them. Polio, tetanus, the flu, influenza, and you got to take the flu shot every year. Hepatitis B, hepatitis A, rubella, Hib, measles, whooping cough, pneumococcal disease, rotavirus, mumps, diphtheria, and depending upon your age, chickenpox. When I was coming along, they did not have a chickenpox vaccine. By the time my sons came along, they did, the varicella vaccine. But 14 different diseases that they're actually vaccinating people against. I don't get a polio booster. I don't. I got my polio shot. I've moved on. I have the mark on my arm, and I keep it moving. I do have to take the flu every year because the flu also has all different kind of mutations of that. I'm just wondering why we're so anti-vax at this point. COVID-19 coupled with Google have made us all scientists. I'm telling you. We're all talking about efficacy rates, and we're all talking about, you know, percentages and numbers, things that if I asked you what's in your measles, mumps, rubella shot, you would not be able to tell me. We have Robert on the phone. Then we'll go to Clarence, Mike, and Mark, and there's a line for you at 410-319-8888. Robert, how are you?
Hello. This is beginning to bother me. Now, my area is not science. I studied history when I was in Morgan, and I studied philosophy. But one thing I did develop was a respect for reason. And what I'm hearing now with these anti-vaxxers,
yes,
this seemed to me to be not even worse than an abandonment of reason, but an outright antagonism toward reason. This is scary. Now, let me tell you why. One, just, of course, regard the issue of coronavirus and any other number of viruses. As you said, we've all had these other vaccinations. Mama told me when I was a little boy, I got a needle. I was so upset I kicked the doctor. But I think I was 3 or 4 years old. Some of these grown men are acting like they're still 3 or 4 years old. I don't want to be nasty about it.
Right.
But this is now getting to be irrational and childish. This is dangerous. It's not just a matter of my predispositions, what I want, I like, I don't like. If I'm walking around here unvaccinated, I'm, one, risking my own life. By the way, I am fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
You aimed to ask me that. I happened way back in March. I'm jeopardizing not only my own health, but the health of other people. Now, I'm sorry if some people think that because they have access to Google, they are somehow experts on the science or better and know more than science or is more than a scientist. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. You mentioned all these diseases we have vaccines for. You know, before people were vaccinated, I think people tend to die. Probably you probably had to have 10 children in order to make sure that 2 or 3 of them lived.
Yes, yes.
This is crazy. People have no idea. But there's another thing here. In addition to the health issue, this attitude bothers me about also our cultural and political future, because we have a large number of citizens who have abandoned reason.
Yeah.
Now, this raises a question about our capacity for self-government,
yeah,
and for democratic life. This is more than just this vaccine. I'm going to tell you, this is a serious matter. I'm no great fan of Thomas Jefferson, knowing he was a slaveholder. He was right when he said, any people who think they can be both ignorant and free want something that has not been and cannot be. This is really bothersome to me when I'm listening to this.
Come on.
It is really frightening to me. Not just because of this vaccine, which is itself dangerous, right? Some people are going to make sure, you know, but this is a really scary thing. This raises some questions about our level of maturity and our capacity for rational, democratic self-government. It's really frightening. When I can hear someone tell me that a hack, mentally challenged right-wing politician is more to be trusted than a virologist,
yeah,
there's something wrong with that. So,
right.
I mean, that's the kind of thinking that allows people, probably this person, why he probably be a Trumpist, a Trumpoid. Maybe he is. Who knows? This is the kind of mentality which also now is a threat to public health, but it's a threat to the cultural and political health of the society. It's the kind of mentality that will allow someone to follow a poseur who would lead them down some disastrous path to some form of authoritarianism. It's a very scary thing.
I got to stop you there. Thank you so much, Robert. Hey, I just want to go back to the quote that Robert just dropped on us from Thomas Jefferson. Those who expect to be both ignorant and free expect what never was and never will be. You can't be both ignorant and free. And I have this sneaking suspicion, right, that Google has worked against us. Because now I want to know about COVID-19. I'll go Google a couple of articles, and I assume that because I've Googled them, I know more than someone who's gone to school for it. Let me just put it this way, okay? Let me just say this. Many of you know I'm a professor. When I go into my classroom, I have a number of students who've read a lot of books and a lot of articles. That's great. You've read a lot of books and a lot of articles, but I am the professor. I've drilled down deep in this. I've spent years doing deep research. I don't just have a breadth of knowledge. I also have a depth of knowledge in my area. I don't walk into the class of an economist and try to teach that course because that's not my area of research. I don't do anything with, you know, going into being the epidemiologist classroom because that's not my area of research. But when it comes to history, specifically African-American history, focused on race, class, and gender, that is my deep dive area of expertise. That's what I study. That's what I write about. That's what I spend my time with. And so when I walk into the classroom, I am the expert and you are the student. We are now saying that virologists, epidemiologists, scientists who spent their lifetime on this, they don't know as much about this COVID-19 as I do because I've been reading a couple of articles over the last year and they've been studying it for tens and thousands. I'm not saying we believe everything with it. We take it with a grain of salt, but at some point, when do we say, hey, maybe science can be trusted at least a little bit since we all take aspirin, we take Tylenol, we take cough medicine. Like, there are a lot of things we do that we just expect to make us feel better. We have Clarence on the phone. Then we have Mike, Mark, and Donald and Carl. Clarence, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. One thing before what my original statement was, I just want to say that I don't understand when an individual's fear of something becomes irrational or ignorant. I wouldn't use that in the same. People who don't want to fly in an airplane, they suddenly are ignorant? Excuse me. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out which conversation we're having because the question of what Rand Paul was questioning Dr. Fauci on was out there by very credible people at the beginning of the pandemic. So the question of the of Dr. Fauci and his credibility is a different question as opposed to you can't put him in Dr. Corbett's the black doctor that helped develop the vaccine. You don't even put those two names in the same category. She was a person that helped develop a cure for whatever that was that came from somewhere, okay? Whether or not Dr. Fauci and some other people that he was associated with were doing research in Wuhan or wherever, that is a totally different question. You can't group that with the other and create that kind of confusion in the conversation. His credibility, if you want to talk about that question, what if Dr. Fauci's connected with that, with the beginning of the research that was going on there? That's another question. Dissect that and deal with what Rand Paul was putting forth, because that was out there a long time ago. So that's a completely different, whether or not you trust the vaccines or whether or not you believe COVID-19 is real. Yes, I believe. Know for a fact and believe, well, I don't know for a fact. I'm going to say I believe that there's a virus out there called COVID-19, and it's killing people. Someone told me that if I take this vaccine, which I don't, they call it a vaccine, I have no idea what I put in my arm. No idea.
But you did.
But I did because it's a 50-50 chance. And as I'm saying, please vaccine work, keep me safe, but I'm keeping my first line of defense off, and I'm going to practice just common sense, just stay out of those areas. So let's, if we're going to have this conversation, doctor, let's put everything in the box that it belongs to, because Dr. Fauci and that young lady's name do not belong in the same sentence together.
Okay.
Credibility, those are two different issues. And I think that Dr. Fauci is a Frankenstein in disguise. I don't care what. He may have gotten on the national news and said, wear the mask, don't wear the mask, do this and do that. He may be credible now. But let's go back to 10 years ago. Let's go back and see what his connections are and see if you still think he's credible and if Rand Paul was just out on some witch hunt. You know, let's
good,
do that
good
in
point.
Separate issues.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate you, Clarence. Folks, it's the weekly wrap. So the conversation is going to go in a number of different directions. It did start with me putting on Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci on the table, but callers called and added 5G. Added in, I'm more than a scientist. So the conversation is evolved. It's the weekly wrap. You actually can call and put whatever you want on the table, but we can have that conversation. Let's go to Mike next. We got Mike, Mark, and Call. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
All right. I want to piggyback on Clarence. Clarence is correct. Dr. Fauci, his credibility is up in the air. Like I say, this has been out a long time ago, and the first two callers, they was on point two. Can anybody explain why is that not that many people that's unvaccinated are not dying like in the beginning? You know, it's like they pushing for people to get vaccinated, but the numbers are not there. There shouldn't be more people that's unvaccinated dying.
Now, we understand, well, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, that one of the main reasons that people were dying of COVID-19 was that the hospitals themselves were full. So they didn't have enough ventilators. They also didn't know in the very beginning exactly what they were doing. They'll say that. The doctors and nurses were saying, look, we were trying everything. And some of the things that we tried in the beginning, we realized it was not helping. When we have the behavioral data scientists on it for, what they look at in terms of the concern is not the positive cases. They look at the number of hospital visits. When hospitals are not full and you have COVID-19 and the equipment is there, ventilators are there, nurses are there to see to you round the clock, your chances of living, surviving COVID are much higher than when hospitals, people were dying at home. People were dying in the hospital. People were dying. Why? Because hospitals were full. They had trucks outside, morgue trucks, because they're like, we're not going to be able to treat everyone. We don't have enough equipment. That was the big concern. That's why they shut everything down. Not because they were like, we're all going to get it. It's like we were overflowing the hospitals and we were exhausting the medical system, stretching it to the limits that it could not go.
Right. Okay. Well, there's going to be mutations. And what's going to be the next step? How many or how often are people going to have to get these shots?
That's actually a very good question because, you know, as I mentioned, the mutation now, which is Delta, there's also Epsilon, Lambda, and Escape variant. The behavioral data scientist we have coming on at 4 is actually going to answer that question. He is the person looking at the data, at the numbers, and looking at the mutations right now. That's why we have him on today at 4. He represents the state of California, and that's what he does for a living. Tracks the data of COVID-19.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so make sure you're listening.
I think Rand Paul is on to something.
Okay.
And I will not be getting a shot. So
Okay. Well, then make sure you're listening at 4 because we're talking to you. We have Mark on the phone. Then we have Carl, Kurt, and Mona. Mark, how are you?
Dr. K, always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. It's good to have a friendly voice. I'm telling you, I'm taking it on the chin today, telling people to
Dr.
get vaccinated.
I said I was going to start off by teasing you and saying, do you sit at your desk in the morning saying, how can I bring out the crazies today?
Oh, man.
Oh, Dr. K, listen, I'm going to repeat something. I'm going to continue to repeat this over and over again. Please tell me that you live for the I don't trust the vaccines. Please tell me that you live off the grid. That you you just have never you remember me saying that you've never been to a doctor. You've never had a tooth pulled. You've never been to an ophthalmologist who was arguing with Dr. Fauci because You know, every time I go, every year I have to go get my glaucoma check. I'm over 50 years old, and they put those drops in my eyes. Guess what,
guys? I have no idea what's in them.
I ain't no sign. I don't know what it is. I just trust that they're doing what they're supposed to do.
It blurs my vision. That's all I know.
That's all I know. I know I got to take somebody with me, or I got to sit there for about an hour before
please.
I can drive.
Come on.
So please tell me. I just had, New Year's Day. My tooth was bothering me so bad. I had a tooth extracted. That guy came to me, went in my roof of my mouth with that needle. I don't know. I know I didn't feel him pull that tooth out of my mouth.
Nope.
Dr. K, all I want, if you can throw this question on the table, for the ones with the distrust, I just want to know, what is their end game? Is there such a distrust in this vaccination? What is their plan? Since we're more than a scientist, since we think it's 5G, what is their plan then?
Yeah.
What is that plan? Why do we want to get this vaccination into everybody's arm? What is America's end game? What is the European Medical Society's end game for this vaccine? What are you doing? I had a conversation with my nephew, and another thing, I don't want to talk to anybody 50 years old or more. I was born in 66. My mother wasn't a woke person, so she didn't have all these theories. She know the doctor said he needs this, 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 and this, and they put that needle in my arm.
Come on.
So most of us in that age group have that needle, have been in our arm. What is that end game? I'm talking to my nephew the other day. He says, it's population control. I said, fool, we don't need a vaccination for that.
Child, please.
I told you before, Dr. Yeah. I have a friend that was in the military. He said, all they have to do is put whatever they want in our water.
And that's the end of that. I got to stop you there, Mark. I appreciate you calling. Folks, we got to take a hard break. We have two calls, Mona and Carl. I'm going to get them at the top of the hour before we have our behavioral data scientist who's going to add some clarity to this conversation. You got to stay with us because we've got a lot more after the break, and you need to hear what this behavioral data scientist has seen in the data over the last couple of days. Stay with us.